is Katie Hicks reporting for the KHNS local news. Stay tuned. A citizen group says local sales tax money should be used to pay for a North Douglas crossing. For years, the city and borough of Juneau's top transportation priority has been a second bridge linking the mainland to the island. City officials believe the best potential for future development is in the West Douglas area. Emergency access and congestion on the existing bridge are also concerns. Despite its best efforts, the city has never before been able to secure state or federal funding for the project. Casey Kelly has more.
Rick Shattuck is with SAFE, Safety, Affordability, Future, Efficiency, an ad hoc group that wants to use Juneau's temporary 1% sales tax to pay for a North Douglas crossing. The tax expires in 2013, but Shattuck says extending it for 8 or 9 years would provide the $70 million necessary to get the project done.
North Douglas Crossing has been talked about for a long time. It is not going anywhere at this point in time unless we try and do something about it locally.
Shattuck says local engineers volunteered time to help SAFE with a conceptual design. It includes a 1.5-mile causeway with a 16-foot-high bridge at mid-channel, bike and pedestrian paths, and a pullout to access the Mendenhall Wetlands State Game Refuge.
The pedestrian path and bike path are just going to be a great recreational opportunities for people to, you know, go out and walk their dog in the evening, go out and walk in the wetlands, or, I mean, it could even enable people, frankly, to ride their bike tour from North Douglas to the Valley and that type of thing. And the mid-crossing pullout, think of the pullout that's currently kind of across from the landfill there on Egan Drive, and we feel that this mid-crossing pullout is just one more asset that will, frankly, enhance access to the wetlands, whether that's for bird viewers, bird hunters, or people just going out for a walk.
In 2007, the Juneau Assembly identified a crossing at Vanderbilt Hill Road as the city's preferred alternative for the project. That was before the State Department of Transportation built an overpass on Egan Drive at Sunny Point, which the SAFE project would incorporate into the crossing. Shattuck says one of the benefits of putting it there is that it would connect to CBJ land on Douglas.
Most of the other routes that they've looked at on this project don't have that type of ease of coming on shore with some land to deal with it, and frankly are likely to have much more direct impact on the neighboring residents before they can even do anything getting on shore. I mean, we feel this project enables the crossing to be built with minimal impacts to the neighborhood.
Of course, the project still faces significant hurdles, not the least of which is concern over how it would affect the wetlands. About 6 years ago, the city did the early stages of an environmental impact statement. That EIS will have to be finished, and a lot of other work remains to be done before permitting could begin. Shattuck says the impact would be minimal.
This project impacts 12 acres of a 4,000-acre refuge. That's less than one-third of 1% of that refuge.
Shattuck spoke at this week's Juneau Chamber of Commerce luncheon. The SAFE group plans to ask the CBJ Assembly on July 19th to place the sales tax extension on the October ballot. Mayor Bruce Botello says a North Douglas crossing remains at the top of the city's transportation wish list, but the Assembly will have to hear more before putting a tax measure to voters.
I'm sure that we'd be willing to discuss it. I think the question is on timing, whether this is a subject that is appropriate to be raising this early in terms of trying to put a measure on the ballot.
Botello says another issue that needs to be addressed is what other projects would get a piece of the temporary sales tax revenue.
Whether we're talking street improvements, whether we're talking sewer and water extension, whether we're talking other facilities, they come to the fore at the point that the Assembly is being asked to look at an extension.
Almost everyone agrees the project is unlikely to receive state and federal support. Botello says the economy is partially to blame. The crossing is also viewed as a local transportation issue by lawmakers outside Alaska and Juneau. But SAFE member George Elgee says the city has time and time again come through on projects like this.
Just about everything in this town is funded by us. So if we want this project, we're going to have to step up and put our money down and make it happen.
The SAFE group is currently collecting signatures to show the Assembly that there's community support for the project. A survey 4 years ago showed more than three-quarters of Juneau residents support or strongly support a North Douglas crossing. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
Divers have finished pumping oil out of the Princess Kathleen. Operations at the Point Lena shipwreck north of Juneau, have ended with at least 110,000 gallons of bunker or heavy fuel oil removed. The total is over 146,000 gallons when counting the rest of the oily water and other oils sucked out of the wreck. Scott Tiernan with the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation is the state's on-scene coordinator for the operation. Tiernan says, "This is great success. Any major incident." The joint state DEC and Coast Guard operation started in February after continued reports of sheens from the 58-year-old shipwreck. The main contractor, Global Offshore Diving and Salvage, started actual pumping of the oil in late April. Hot tapping is the process of drilling through the hull and fuel tanks to pump out the oil. Divers cut out a section of the hull to reach as many as 10 service oil tanks in an aft compartment, but debris blocked access. Tiernan says they're fairly confident those deteriorated tanks are largely empty. Some of that oil appears to have already been sucked out of the overhead spaces of the wreck. The hull section has been replaced and all the fuel tanks' drilled holes are plugged. The recovered oil will be barged down to the Seattle area, where it will be recycled or disposed. The absorbent boom will be disposed. The hard containment boom will be cleaned and possibly reused. The assortment of vessels used in the operation are being decontaminated before they depart Auk Bay. Eddie Skookum of the Little Salmon Carmax First Nation in central Yukon has been charged with assault and impaired driving in Haines. Police in Haines say that Skookum, 56, has been in their custody since Sunday when he was arrested following an incident at the Captain's Choice Motel early that morning. He was charged with two felony counts of assault, one misdemeanor count of assault, and charged with driving under the influence. He is currently being held at the Haines jail facility on a $50,000 bail. If Skookum is unable to post that bail amount, he will be transferred to a facility in Juneau. Alaska State Museum awarded 23 grants statewide totaling $105,600. Museums in Haines, such as the Sheldon and Hammer Museums, are benefiting from these awards and are planning some exciting projects with the money they receive. In order to be chosen for this award, it was necessary for local museums to apply.
We applied for a State of Alaska grant and aid. The goal behind that was to get enough money for the materials and labor costs to build a mobile storage unit for the museum's collection. The Department of Education and Early Development for the state of Alaska reviews them and then awards all of the applicants a certain percentage of the kind of yearly allotment of grant and aid money.
Kelly Morton, a summer intern at our local Hammer Museum, says that this mobile unit will be an adequate way to keep the museum's artifacts through the off-season.
It'll be all of our collection that we don't have museum space to have on display currently, as well as during the off-season, museum items of, you know, high quality that would need to be removed from the building and protected during the winter.
Morton says that this unit is effective and portable.
Yes, it would be an entirely temperature-controlled building, basically on a mobile storage frame. It would be 10 feet by 32 feet, and then it would be on a three-axle flatbed trailer for mobility purposes.
This is Katie Hicks reporting for KHNS. You can listen to KHNS news anytime online at khns.org. Just click on the Listen tab for stories from the last week, or go to archives for earlier stories.